technologies, well, we got to round them up for their safety and so forth. But they're not going to trust black people running free when with munition dumps and, you know, armed trains and so forth. Senator Stennis just said from the floor recently, we got too many blacks in the Army, we're going to have to think more about the draft. And a couple of three other senators chimed in. I'm really concerned about the future of our country. And I'm not surprised at the conspiracies against us, but it really is amazing when you get lunatics who are probably willing to do it for most nothing. Maybe he is being paid, but I would not think it's the kind of way to approach an attack. I would have thought he would have gone to enemies. He could easily find enemies, and he could drop that kind of a story on who are bizarre enough to believe it.
This is what I was really amazed at. He would come to us knowing, you know, that we were friends, and, you know, of all the, you know, the ways that you have helped.
That I'll never figure out.
I cannot figure what his goddamn ulterior motive was.
Neither can I. If you ever get any idea on that, let me know, because that bombs me, because it's just too much.
You know, to this day, I was just trying to figure what his name was, because, you know, it was fruitless for him talking to us in the first place, you know, and
a wise man would have known so.
And not knowing it, I had just got up walked out of the room, you know, and Dennis was sitting there taking notes, and I said, but I went around and I called every meeting, and I was showing him the pictures of my parents at the hospital, back in Oklahoma. And we walked around, you know, went outside, and I walked the dog, and one hand, and then I went out talking to him. About fighting out there. And what got me was, you know, the phone didn't bother him. On the phone,
I must have called 3 or 4 times.
But what got me was he wasn't nervous. It never bothered. He wouldn't look up. It didn't look down like nothing was wrong. You know, passing out the time over our bullshit, I would have been a nervous wreck.
Well, it's possible that we're being the brunt end of a conspiracy, but I'm sure that people of agencies would use lunatics. We went through this awful thing with the mayor of Myersville, Mississippi. I don't know whether you saw in our paper. We caught him with the satchel in between the wall. We don't know whether they had a bomb or what. We went to Congressman Burton, tried to get something done about it. She's quite a really, really articulate woman, a very ingenious person, and totally compassionate, committed. One of our sisters caught them, and another, and then they hightailed it, and they ran after them and got the license number of the car. One of the men that works in the DA's office checked the license out and chased it to a rental car agency. Then, lo and behold, we had a stroke of luck. The car rental agency had some sympathy and heart, and they revealed who had rented the car, and they'd rented it all the way in Sacramento. But make a long story short, they happened to be two high-level officers of the Air Force from Kessler Air Force Base. I think one of them a colonel, one of them a major, working for the Air Force. And then we had some ministers who were friends do a little investigation of their own down there and come up with the fact that they were working apart from their own time in the service for Senator Stennis, who is, you know, on the CIA Evaluation Committee and on the Armed Services Committee. And they almost almost worshipped him like he was a god. But we tried our damnedest to get press, anybody doing anything. The only people who picked it up was the black press, the minority press, socialist progressive press, no word. The editor of the Chronicle has been very friendly with me as much as he can in the schizoid capacity. He's been to our church several times. Likes us, he says, thinks we're the best thing ever happened, but he didn't print it. And the Burton, all he could get from was denials. Said, yes, we have those two men, but they were not in California. Well, we had damn proof they were in California. It's horrifying. And we wrote Anderson, and Jack Anderson once said, anything he could do for us, I met him once, said anything he could do for us, be glad to do it, wrote every liberal, progressive columnist, and we didn't get a word on that. And what were they trying to do with the black satchel between our church, Mississippi, whatever, however far Mississippi is away, is where she's from, Myersville, Mississippi. I don't know what they had in mind. They could have been setting a bomb in there. Surely they wouldn't needed to do surveillance, because, strangely enough, they were connected with a electronics division. It's too easy to put bugs on you these days. We found bugs on our phones. We found them under our building. That's something you deal with all the time. You have to debug your place, and so is Cecil. I had to debug his, Carl Goodlett and others. Carl Goodlett and Cecil and myself, and I don't know how many others, were even being monitored from the telephone company. We got a woman step forward and told us they were monitoring us. Said she didn't like it, didn't know us. She knew Carl and talked to him about it, but she didn't know me. But she revealed all of us being monitored at the same time. And then this old rascal who's attacked AIM so bad it attacked us, and Goodlett and Oh, we give on, and everyone, progressive, Cecil, Blistered Cecil, Kinsolving, he monitored our phone for two months. I had his ass in a bind. I really did have him in the proverbial bind, but the woman that stepped forward, a little frail lady, couldn't stand it, even though she didn't share my religious views and didn't like my little four-letter words, even though Jesus cussed the money changers out of the temple. She said, I don't like what they're doing to you. And then the telephone people came from Sacramento office to investigate, and they said, we got a case here. We can get them all fired, because I had all the names. She provided me all the names, the hours. They did around the clock, 24 hours on every shift. There were that many bigots that was working with him, and of course he was obviously paying them, and checked in on Tuesday and Thursday to get the information. But she would have had to step forward, and we would have had to identify our witness. And the little woman began to just tremble like she had malaria. And I said to the inspector, I came back, I never identified her even to the inspector. I came back and I said, the woman is fearful that she'll lose her job. He said, well, I can't guarantee she won't. He said, there's a lot of bigotry in that department. I said, well, man, you expect me. I said, you really do have a man over a barrel. Because I got too much conscience to do that to a little lady who's had the courage of her convictions. And all the evidence I had, I could have put him away. Since, I guess, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, they dropped him from the Washington Press Corps for taking bribes from corporations and unions in South Africa for supporting apartheid policies and promoting it in his column. But nothing legally done to him, naturally, even though he took these bribes under false pretenses. If you got enough power and clout in this country, you get by. You know how that is.
Right.
But I don't know why this chap is working with him again. I don't know. Maybe since he's been dropped from the Washington Press Corps, maybe old Ken is, that old columnist is back at us again. I don't know. But we had not heard him since we sued him. And he mentioned that we sue. That's another thing. He knows a lot about us with all of his lies. I think he said we sue, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we do. So the sucker knows some things about us. But he just chosen to make all these weird, weird allegations against us.
Well, maybe we've got him out of the goddamn business because he's so worried that we blew his cover, he's taken off.
I wonder what gave him the fear. Did he spot our people there?
No, he didn't. He didn't see them at all or anything. As a matter of fact,
I called them through you because they didn't understand you. They called me and said he don't want any pictures, but we can confront him. I said, oh, I don't believe that. I don't think he'd want that. I would imagine, because I thought maybe we want to pursue it further. But then
we might have to, you know, later. I mean,
yeah. Sure, if something comes up. But when I heard after he left this business of trying to bait Dennis out, I said, drop it, because there's something very devious in trying to get Dennis out like that. And I, to hell, it could be assassination. You don't know. They're capable of any damn thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we have conspiracies to deal with. I could name you 15 different conspiracies to progressives, friends of ours in different organizations. And I'm sure you know your own way. We well know how they did it, Wounded Knee. So I'd say leave the sucker alone unless he tries to attack us. Then that's another thing.
Yeah. I was just waiting, you know, to find out, what you guys want to do.
Well, that's what my attorneys feel like. My own temptation is to knock on his door and say, hey, sucker, what you doing? But that isn't... That worked in the old days, but I never hit nobody in my life. But I tell you, I get damn hostile. I really do. They are accusing me of guns. I don't own a goddamn gun. I hate guns because I know that, you know, that there's so many of them, and they end up in the wrong hands, and I'd like to see a policy of none. But, of course, I believe in everybody's right to bear arms, as long as right-wing Nazis have got them stashed away. I think everybody's got a right to protect their home. Homes or castle, but I hate guns. He's a liar. I never had no guns. Never owned a gun. Never owned a gun. He can't find a gun in my premises. I never owned a gun in my born days. So this sucker is just too much. Dennis says about somebody told me 150 damn guns. Outrageous. And what would 150 guns do? Shit. If you're going to fight, you better have 1,500 guns. And who could, what good would it do if you did incline yourself that way? But I do want to say, because I know my phone's tapped, I do want to say, if they ever come in here, we will fight to the last man and woman. We've made up our mind. We are not going to be carried away to no concentration camps. I really do sincerely mean that.
This is, I'm unsure where their mind is, but I'm positive yours would be.
What'd you say?
I see, I'm unsure at the present time whether my phone is tapped, because it used to be, but I'm positive yours is.
Yeah, well, I'm the one doing the talking. You didn't say anything.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, just, you know, I'm sure they're listening because
Well, I got a right to defend myself. I got a right to defend myself if people come in here to try to buy, to hurt my children and hurt our people. I'd rather die. I'd rather die than go through what the Chileans are going through, that we're having to feed every month, and the people, the tortures is being conducted by the CIA and other multinationals, transnationals in Union South Africa, where women's breasts are being cut off and little babies dropped out 17th floor windows, like the Secretary of President Allende, to try to get her to talk, then come in and see her husband. Toes cut off piece by piece up to his hip bones, and then finally gouge his eyes out and cut his penis off. I know they won't do that to me nor my loved ones. They'll have to kill me first. I mean that. I'm really at that point. And probably they're trying to provoke us into some kind of offensive action. We will not do that. We are not militants. We do not, I mean, in terms of trying to start anything. We don't want anything but peace. But I don't see, I never saw where the Germans gained a thing by going off when the Jews aimlessly went off and marched into their own death. I don't think you gain a thing by that.
Possibly, this man has, he must have skirted completely out of country.
Well, I hope, because, well, I doubt it. I imagine that was another one of his ruses. You know, why would he be scared? Nobody's had him, we didn't even know him.
I didn't know, you know, he was going around. I didn't even know he called, and I had a pretty good time to get called, and told him that number that he was going. And so, one of us must have tipped him for this, Louis Clover.
Oh, he accused you of tipping him?
Well,
Dennis didn't say that he accused you of tipping.
I guess he said that one of somebody here must have tipped. He didn't say whether it was Dennis or me or something, but one of them. But he was kind of a damn idiot anyway. He came over here and come up with something like that. Here, you know, not knowing either one of us, and then knowing.
Well, I would think he'd know you'd tip. He's a moron to try it in the first place. That blows my mind. If he'd gone to the John Birch Society, the Nazi Party, or the White Citizens Council, or one of those right-wing groups, then that makes some sense.
Well, at first, you know, before you were ever going to say anything, I'd rather have your word if you were saying anything.
Oh, well, no, you know, you wouldn't take the word of a progressive against another progressive, because progressives certainly would not be cutting each other's throats. There's something fishy, awfully fishy about this.
Well, this is when Dennis looked over me, and I looked at him and the way he was standing for a minute, and he said, "No, I can't tell you unless you give me your word." And there was a long silence. It was kind of observing silence. And finally, Dennis said, "Well, I might give you my word. I won't say anything to anybody else." But he said, "I might talk to." But anyway, he said, "No, I got to have your complete word." He won't. Oh no, Dennis said, "I might give you my word. I won't tell anybody else. But I'm going to talk to my lawyer." He looked at me and said, "Well, that's okay." And then finally, I looked at him and said, "Okay, we'll give you our word then." So, Dennis, yeah, we'll give you our word. And then, you know, he just went damn like a goddamn photograph, you know. And,
well, he hates us, all right.
Damn well, you know, he had to be.
He hates us and obviously hates Dennis, because if he had, it'd be just as advantageous to him. I really, first place, I don't know if he's got a case against somebody, which he doesn't, unless it's a contrived one, a frame-up. If he did have a case against us, he would need nobody. What does he need people for? He said the T-Men already had proof. I read in Dennis's notes, he had proof of all these things. Why would he need your... it makes no sense at all.
Huh? Why would he, you know, with all of the supposedly, you know, he's got all this proof. Why would he come up and tell a couple
of people? It really doesn't figure. If you've got corroboration, you don't need another. You don't want to risk leaking it if they were really under an investigation of us, which I wouldn't be surprised if there's 80 people investigating us. That doesn't shock me because of all the things that my friends have gone through in other organizations. I don't doubt that at all. But if indeed we were being investigated, why would you want to risk blowing it? Secondly, why wouldn't you do? You're, after all, the prominent person who's not having any trouble at all with the present authorities. Why wouldn't he want you preferably to go rather than another man who has something hanging over his head? It doesn't make any sense unless he was trying to threaten him, intimidate him, and thought Dennis would be weak enough to be intimidated to lie against people's temper out of fear, which they've always worked on in Nazi Germany and Union of South Africa. They'll get somebody that's got something on them and try to manipulate that person into saying something. But he ought to know Dennis better than that. However, you can't tell. You always see in others what's in yourself. The miscalculation may come is because if he were in Dennis's position, then he might tend to live that way. So, being that would be his modus operandi, modus vivendi, he would automatically feel that Dennis would play into his hands. Or something worse. I hope it wasn't a setup to get Dennis out, but of course it didn't work, whatever. However, by the fact that he gave a phone and a name, and my bishop knew of this person, if it is the same person indeed, the only thing that broke down was he said he had been divorced many years because his wife considered him a cringy nut, he'd fallen out with our former bishop and tried to tear up the minister character, which fits him, and did split up a church. But was a druggist. I don't know how you move from a druggist to a clerk into a Standard Oil, because you're having trouble getting jobs if you're a druggist. I don't make any sense that because Dennis, I think, or you one told me he was a clerk.
I was out of the room, north of, I missed about 3/4 of it, you know, and then...
that's too bad. Well, I got Dennis's notes, he kindly sent his notes, and it's in there that Dennis took pretty thorough notes, and it's in there that was a clerk, a Standard Oil, connected with Standard Oil, on Standard Oil stationery or something like that.
Well, I saw that. As soon as he sat down, I looked at his face there with the Standard Oil, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, he didn't even try to hide that.
Yeah, the truth. Well, maybe that was a ruse, but it don't make any sense, because you got a man, he gave phone numbers, and you checked the phone. I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything about it, but I just thought I'd check back, being that we had the fool, or his wife, if she indeed was his wife, call one of our people, Mrs. Johnson's, I understand it, Laura Johnson, and told her that you people had set him up to try to get something on us. So then that must have been after he talked to Dennis last time.
No kidding.
No, I don't know. I have no way of verifying who it was, but that's the name it was given. He gave the same name, Con, a cone?
Yeah, Con, I guess.
That's the same one. Not too ease when you can find characters like that who will try to destroy. But let's expect that. It will happen. Democracy's on its demise. The multinationals have so much technology that when the economics gets bad enough, we're all in danger. And I guess most of us know that. If we don't, we're not very bright.
Yeah.
Okay, I won't take more of your Saturday evening.
I'm glad you call, and don't worry. I'll take it away with me. That's anyway.
But I think some would. Yes, I do think some would. But I think because, you know, the right wing and racists are prepared to believe almost anything on us. I think they believe that we rape our own babies, we who are in the third world. I really do think that because people have sincerely, to show you an example, Reverend Amos Brown, Third Baptist Church, got this off the record, but got three letters about Reverend Cecil Williams. And he believed these damn letters. And they were, you know, who would believe anything written anonymous or some first name or whatever the hell, I don't remember what it was. But I think he did believe it. I think he did. I think he believed it, because Cecil don't happen to do things the way he does it. That's one thing that the enemy has, the CIA or the conspiracy or whatever the hell it may be, those who want to break progressive, nonviolent forces working for change within society, they've got that going for them. There's a hell of a lot of paranoia. There's a great willingness to be cynical and believe the worst about people. You don't hear much promotion of good things about people, but you sure hear a hell of a lot of bad.
Yeah.
You know, people don't praise you much for what you do, but they'll sure knock you if they think they can pick on anything or frame anything to do it. A lot of people I'm talking about. And there's just not enough support. The coalitions are weak. I was so disgusted with this rally on the liberation of South Africa. Of the 1,500 people gathered there, I want to tell you with sadness, 1,360 people were from People's Temple. 60 people. That's what it was. I had to wait. I had Dennis say, and they did this very carefully. They put all these speakers that I want to support to the end. And so we had to hold in there, and we wanted to do some work, pruning some grapes. We had a chance to make a little money, because we were feeding so many people here every day, free meals. And we had a chance to go out. A rancher offered us that opportunity, but we didn't get to do it. We'd done some inventory work at the Emporium store, and another store called us. We did such a good job, we could have gotten so much an hour. And a lot of people, so much an hour, can do an inventory job in 4 hours. And here we sat 5 hours in that damn rally, and they put every good speaker I wanted to hear, the very last, Enola Maxwell and Joe Dionis of the International Hotel, and they put Dennis Way to the end too, and you know, way down the line. I told him very clearly, I said, I gotta go and be gone, our people gotta be gone this time, no, we can set through the rally. But they trapped us into that rally. I understand the need for the crowd, but if we hadn't explained to them, we were reluctant to go in the first place. Because of it, but they sure knew how to work it. They put Yvonne Golden right on the end, who I love. She's such a wonderful woman. I'm not encouraged by the unity, the coalitions. I think there must have been 30 coalitions there. 30 coalitions can only produce 3 or 4 people apiece. That's bad news. Really bad news. when People's Temple has to be most of the rally. At the International Hotel, I can safely say we were 3 out of 4 people that marched around there to keep the police from breaking in that night. When they were getting ready to evict them forcefully. It's very, very sad. The apathy that you see everywhere, well, I don't even want to think about it. I don't want to be depressed. I don't want to depress you. Go and have a good evening.
Okay, Jim, don't worry. Nobody believes.
If they do, they don't. They do. You can't control what people believe. I can only control what I do. I know I'm a good man. I follow all the conscience I can follow and work as hard as anybody. I really work too hard.
Well, if we can, I'm sure this is the way we can help in any way.
I know. I appreciate it. You did good there. It's just an endless kind of morass, but it was good. It was good. At least maybe he'll be a little more careful before he lies the next time. Let's hope so.
Okay.
Take care, Frank.
Take care, John.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Tell Prokes to be sure and get to a Brown.
Hello.
Hello, is Yvonne there?
Yes, sir. Lane Brown. She's the furnace when I'm positive, so I'll be gone for 7 weeks. I'm too many threats, and he's been trapped, and I'm still in the family.
Are you not well, Yvonne?
No.
This is Jim Jones. Are you not well?
Oh, hi. Donna, how are you? No, I have a cold. I'm taking a cold.
No, I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, how you doing? I called about you yesterday.
Yes, that's what I was responding to. I'm fighting, we've been threatened and harassed, and I think just got to me. By the way, Ubaldi called me. Reverend Ubaldi said he got one of those nasty letters about you.
Really?
Someone thinks they may have got one here, but they started to read it and threw it away, so I don't know. I never
see it. Yeah. You know, the Maxwell called me, so she got one also. Is that terrible?
I hope they have fun.
Oh, it's so childish, so stupid, and just so animal. It's really terrible.
Yeah. Well,
how do you
sick
feel?
Sick generation.
How do you feel?
Very tired. Who wouldn't be pushing like I have been?
Oh, yeah, I know. Everyone was calling me and asking me, were you in the hospital? And I said, no, not that I know of. And I called that afternoon.
No. That's where the doctor thinks I ought to have some time to, a long time ago, I should take a long rest. I don't know. And my kids, I'm really going to have to do something. You may have to get away and try to... I don't know what's going on. It's just too much happening. That's all.
I know, but just take your time. Don't try to go away. I mean, go away and rest someplace, you know.
Yeah.
I thought to come back.
Oh, yeah. That's what I meant.
You've got to go to L.A. tomorrow, right?
Can't do it.
Oh, you can't do it?
Can't do it. They advised me to do it because of the threat down there. Threat to bomb, threat to me. I'm getting so many threats.
Oh,
this is outrageous.
That's outrageous.
You know, all kinds of threats. We offered to represent those reporters who worked for the Examiner who exposed all the former DA and those cops did that.
Yeah.
That little Chinese young man framed him for murder.
Uh-huh.
That Lee boy. And the Examiner now won't even give him support, won't even defend their own reporters against the cops who are suing them. And the attorney is going to cost them $27,000. We offered some assistance. By God, they wasn't. 2 days till we got threatened that if we did that, we'd be smeared. I don't know who the hell some of these people are, but I'll tell you, it's a real conspiracy. It's a real conspiracy.
Oh, that's terrible. I don't know who they are either, because that letter is really just really such a sick letter about me. It's so dumb.
Are they all the same?
They all are the same so far. I know you know that, yes. I'm supposed to be, what am I supposed to be working for? Paris Francois. And for the reward of a city post that I'm about to get, I'm about to be appointed some big city post. And it's all being done because I've agreed with their friends while to tell who the teenagers are sexually having, going to bed with something.
That's just stupid. I don't know how anybody beat that.
That's terrible. It really is stupid. And
I'll get somebody to police them. They'll try it more like they do on system.
Oh yeah, but I didn't give up my secrets, but he was from the CIA and all that. It's
Honolulu, 16 cities in Oklahoma will completely run out of water within 11 days. 16 cities in Oklahoma alone. It's just like the prelude to the great crash of 29.
Yes,
and
yes.
Then the economic situation is so tore up.
Yes,
and that stupid chief of staff, George Brown, the head of the military chief of staff, said today that there oughtn't be any civil liberties. And
that was a horrible statement. That anyone who's worried about anybody opening letters, that they better should be open, because maybe they are doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible. That's horrible. It's really horrible.
Congress is interfering too much with the military.
Yes. Oh, that sounds so fascist.
Oh, we'll have a coup. You watch it. We better always have to be prepared, because the Jews waited too long.
Yeah, that's right.
All the tortures we've done abroad, when the tentacles are forced back home and cut off, you believe that those big ruling elite, the corporate elite, that they fight for their territory 8,000 miles away in Africa and 10,000 miles away, you sure as hell know they're going to fight out in their own backyard.
Right. Exactly.
The
exactly.
thing our people have never come to terms with, we as black people have never had a war, one of our nations, the black nation, at war.
That's right.
The Japanese, that's parallel of our racism. The Germans weren't picked up, but the Japanese were.
That's right.
And, soon, if it isn't Zaire, it's going to be Rhodesia or Zimbabwe.
Of course it is.
Union of South Africa, our people are going to be free, and it's the richest continent in the world in the moment.
Right.
The very moment I heard a colonel say it from Washington, the very moment the government goes to war, the United States government goes to war with one of our black nations, our sister or brother nations in Africa, then at that moment, every black will be rounded up in the entire.
Of course. And that was the same thing with the Japanese. I was saying that to the students the other day. Don't you know? Don't you ever think it's good?
They don't trust us. This is a racist country. Not one German was arrested. That's right. Well, I guess not. There was no investigation. No, no, no. Well, this is the one. They've harbored the Nazis, the ones that they know that have been in Germany.
Those people who were proven killers, you know, and did that whole hit the movement, they've only been able to find refuge in here and there, I think.
Yeah, a whole lot of immigration trying to get out, including the head of the Romanian Orthodox Church who murdered children and hung them up, stamped kosher on their, and kosher meat on their buttocks.
Oh, that's so clear.
He's living in a 54-room mansion outside Detroit. This test case, as Newsweek says, you've got to stop these religious groups and other groups that are getting together because they can be a threat to the government. Now, this test on the Moonies, everybody's jumping down. I don't like those Moonies at all.
That's a bad precedent.
The head of the ACLU said that's one of the dangerous things that the First Amendment rights you've ever seen.
That's right.
Put a conservatorship over you when you're an adult and put you away and run cold water over you.
That's right.
And you completely take you away from life and liberty, and then they call it deprogramming. It's like Orwell's programming on the contrary.
That's right. And they charge any religious group with that kind of...
They've already arrested two socialist worker parties done that in New York.
Oh, that's so bad. It looks really bad.
You have to get them to the third floor.
That's right. That's the truth. Oh, you are going to be here tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, you're not going to be going tomorrow.
Well, that's right.
Is there anything I can warm up and get for you, anything?
No, take care of your own cold.
I am. That's why I'm in the bed now. I've been taking absence and all. I'm just in bed all day. I don't want to get up.
I'll be right back now, honey.
Okay.
Take care of yourself.
And say hello to your wife. Okay. And family.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot for calling. Bye-bye.